23-283, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at
6:30.
6:30 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-284, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held April the 18th, 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have, in the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none, we have now moved, according to our previous approval of the agenda, section 21.1 down to after number 9, because our fire chief is has to go out to, I guess, you're teaching.
We're doing our M&R certification tonight for our wildfire.
Okay. Great. So I'll read the resolution, and then I'll have you speak to it if you wish. So we have resolution 23-285, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-28, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 2022-42. Being a bylaw to regulate a fire department in the township, the first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council the 18th day of April 2023. Before we vote, I'll have you speak to those amendments. Three of them, I think, you've suggested, and one that council has suggested. So,
I'm aware of two amendments to that bylaw.
You don't have the most recent copy? Well, we'll get that for you.
I'm aware of the junior firefighter program and for revisional 11.1.
Right, but the junior one's broken into three parts.
Oh, okay.
Three clauses, that's all.
Sorry, misunderstood. Yeah, it is. That's what you said.
So we're all on the same page, good.
Yep, we are.
So just want to explain for the junior firefighters and then...
So McKellar is interested in starting a junior firefighter program, sort of an outreach program for our community youth. We would like to have people from the ages of 15 to 18 have the opportunity to come and train with the fire department, experience what it's like to be a firefighter, be exposed to certain aspects of fire department life and training and community involvement. They will be able to get their high school volunteer hours through this and so forth. We will be opening them up to participation in markets and other community events and so forth. We believe that it'll provide us an advantage in terms of actually communicating and appealing to even younger youths and teaching them, somebody who can relate to them a little bit better, teaching them about fire safety, you know, cooking safety, stuff like that, while also providing the junior firefighter the opportunity to learn and mentor under full firefighters right now. The program will allow for when they turn 18 for them to join the fire department as a full-fledged member.
It's a form of succession plan.
It's almost like a form of succession plan. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds great.
We're trying to get them young.
Really good.
Is there an interest at this point?
There is. I have two youth who are very interested right now. They happen to be children of people who are on the department. But there are, I've spoken at the market last year with a few families locally who are not involved with the fire department, but whose kids are And so this would give everybody equal opportunity. We'll take three on at a time, you know, and allow them to essentially shadow us on our training meds and so forth. So.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Insurance-wise, if they're shadowing, I mean, is that all?
They will not be involved in any heavy lifting, any dangerous scenarios in terms of going into the fires or anything like that. Any training exercises that they become involved with, such as our water rescue training or auto extrication training, where they will be using tools to break windows or pop a door, open a door that's forcibly closed. That would require a special
waiver of some
waiver
sort
by their parents signed, so that they understand that there is an inherent risk involved with the job, but this is the type of thing that we're trying to expose them to. They have a better understanding going forward. If they want to pursue this as a career, they have to understand that there are inherent risks involved.
Yeah.
Right? But they will not be at any time exposed to any anything that could hurt them.
Yes, go ahead.
In paragraph number one, or the one numbered number one,
yes.
Rob, I mean, you mentioned they'd be appointed. Are they appointed by you, or does that require council approval or agreement, whatever words you want?
Well, I was actually going to pose that to council to say,
okay,
do you want to say in terms of who is able to join and who is not able to join, or would it be capable of solely resting with me to make that judgment? I'm comfortable making that judgment. I'm also comfortable making the judgment of who doesn't belong. If things are a little over their head or they don't show a certain level of maturity, then obviously their time in the department would have to come to an end as well. No different than any other firefighter. So I'm willing to do the appointments myself. However, I did leave it open-ended in case council wanted to be involved.
And I think it's good that council is involved. Presently, right now, I guess for the for any firefighters, it comes through council.
Correct.
And you give us a quick bio sort of thing in the background. So
correct.
I think the same sort of would make sense, I think, to do the same sort of thing.
Sure. I also believe it provides a certain amount of recognition too. They have their, recognized by council.
Sure.
They have their name right in the council meeting, and just sort of pride, so to speak.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other comments on those sections? Okay. 11.1.
Yes, so 11.1. I'm just curious as to if council can inform me as to what their concerns were with the way it was originally written versus the way it was proposed.
I think the one thing that we mentioned before, that the way it was worded, it didn't specify that it be a community event or it be on public property, so it read that it could be interpreted as private use. And so we're trying to differentiate the two. I think you made it clear.
Is there, an example that is a concern or anything, just so I can understand?
Well, one example that came up in the past is a previous council, but flooding rinks on private property.
Yes,
would
I
be
think
an example.
The motivation of that was because of COVID, and it was encouraging people to be able to be recreational on their own property as opposed to going to our arena.
Which is fine. I understand the reasoning, but then again, we're looking at insurance possibilities here. What could happen?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. All
so
right.
We're just trying to clarify. And I know you talked about, the market going out, and also for the fish derby and different times of the parade, for instance, when firefighters would be involved using bunker gear or whatever, the equipment they might have to use, the vehicles. And so we're trying to differentiate the two, I guess, that if it's for a community event. And hopefully that covers most of those.
That should cover most of those. My only concern on the private use aspect of the sentence was, I believe I brought the example forward of licensing.
Right.
So we currently allow our volunteers, when they're getting their DZ license, to use our apparatus for both training and testing purposes. This benefits the township because we have another DZ driver. Provide the example of the fire we had in the fall, where we had a lack of DZ drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to the scene, I was actually going to a hall and pick up a tanker, right?
Yeah.
So allowing our people to use our apparatus for that training purposes benefits the department, and we don't have to pay somebody to go and do the course. The course can be upwards of $1,000 or more without having an accurate or solid figure in mind. I'm assuming it's over $1,000 to anything nowadays to pay for a driver's course. It's 10,000. So we don't want to have to pay for our volunteers to go and get licensed just so we can have our apparatus brought to the scene. They removed the ability for our people to drive our apparatus unlicensed to emergency scenes, which is what used to happen until a few years ago. There was an accident with an 18-year-old up in Callender where he lost control of the truck going to a scene. It used to be that you could take it to an emergency scene and then just deal with the OPP in terms of how to get it back, but we no longer have that luxury. So being able to have our responders train on the trucks that they'll actually be driving is a big benefit to us. It saves us money because we don't have to pay for courses, and it gives us more availability of people to be able to move our apparatus around to an emergency scene. So my concern about the private use is that while it's benefiting the public, their license is their license. They can now go and attain a driving position, let's say, somewhere by using that license now for Adams Brothers or something, right? So there is an argument for private use in there. I think the benefit to the fire department far outweighs what little private use can be held. And so my only caution on the statement is we need to leave it somewhat open-ended, or at least have an understanding in council that there will be some pseudo-private use of the fire department.
Is there any way of wording that just leave it the way it is, held on public property, and training or something in there? Is it permissible? Would that cover?
That would cover it. Uses deemed appropriate by the fire chief would be the easiest way of covering it. I don't plan on lending apparatus or equipment out to anybody filling a pool or anything like. So our usage right now and going forward is strictly fire related, and I would consider licensing fire related.
Mm-hmm. No, that sounds good. It's just that we want something in place, something worded, so that...
I understand the motivation.
If you're not the one in charge, somebody else comes along. You're telling us now what you would do, and not...
I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
I fully understand. So my recommendation, I'm not opposed to a changing of 11.1 from what it was at to something similar to this, provided, or even if we could just use this statement, provided that council has the understanding that private use is somewhat flexible in terms of its definition.
But if we did what the mayor suggested, just added use of any property belonging to the fire department for community-based events or training,
sure.
Then I think that would solve the issue that you're raising.
To me, that covers it, and
yeah.
I would be more than happy with that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering where our training should go. That's why I put it after public property, because will all training be on public property? I'm not sure of that.
Well, theoretically, no, because if we were to go to, let's say, the Ridge of Manitou, for some training acquisitions, because they have a fertilizer barn, we could be on the property of one of the marinas.
Yeah.
Right? So not everything is going to be on public land if we have permission to use it.
So I think we can resolve it.
Fire department related.
It's still fire department related, but then we
have...
Somehow
you put that in.
But then we have... private land or public land.
Yeah, we'll put back over to Councillor Ryland what he has there now.
Well, yeah, I mean, in other words, you're right. Change the order so that it says use of any property belonging to the fire department for training, comma, or community-based events held on training, comma. That's why the comma is there, and then community events on public property. Now, but for training, I mean, and the rest of that sentence, I know you have it there in front of you, Rob, but shall require the prior written permission of the fire chief. Would you do so? Like, would you have written permission that you would provide for training and or?
If we have, let's say, we have an event, a public charity event at the Ridge of Manitou, and they want to have a fire apparatus there for families to check out or something, then yes, I could provide an email or a letter, on proper letter yet, stating that I approve.
Email's fine. Yeah.
You know, generally speaking, yes, email is fine.
for you to get, like, how many people would be doing training at a given time?
No, if we have, I think the most that we've had at any one given time doing driver training would be two.
Okay.
You know, we've had probably six very successfully go through the testing process because of use of our apparatus.
Okay.
So again, great benefit to us, but never more than two at one time, just the way they're spaced.
And would this extend to firefighters from McDougal, for example, or any others?
No, we don't allow our apparatus to be driven by McDougal unless it's an emergency scene.
Okay.
And even then, they would have to be a DZ driver in order to operate it.
Okay.
Now, our apparatus does get used, or did get used this past fall for their tanker shuttle certification. And in 2 years, when we're up to renew ours, we'll be using, calling them up, and they'll come to help us.
Are those issues covered in a reciprocal agreement?
It's not private use, it's public use. We're helping out we have a mutual aid agreement.
Yeah, that's right.
And a mutual
yeah.
assistance agreement
okay.
in place with them.
Okay.
So
it's covered.
It's covered.
Okay.
Awesome. So the wording, so there was a change of some wording here. I think maybe another option would be use of any property belonging to the fire department for community-based events and training is permissible but shall require the prior written approval of the fire chief to eliminate held on public property.
Yeah, I don't have much. I would agree with that. I mean, I don't think it's particularly necessary to be on public property. And certainly if you're mentioning like doing training at the Ridge and other places.
The training or a public event, we, you know, Hawkins Geniac,
with
the CO.
If we just deleted the words on public property, is that sufficient?
Yeah. Held on public property.
Held on public property. Okay.
But he still wants training in.
Yes, training.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, I was in favor of Councilor Peckin's statement. I thought that someone could waiver it out there.
Okay.
As long as Carly has it the way it was. Okay. Well, that sounds good.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Oh, do we want to change? Well, I mean, paragraph one was just saying who is appointed. We don't say by whom. Do we need to put in there appointed by the fire chief and approved by council? Is that what?
I think it's understood.
It's understood.
Okay.
I will just like every other appointment
or
dismissal.
And I'm okay with that too, as long as everybody else is. That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, she's amending the bylaw as we speak, so it makes it difficult.
Sorry.
And the junior firefighter program is okay in terms of the timeline. We'd be good enough to go ahead with it. I can start advertising and so forth.
Yeah, well, we'll see how this resolution.
After the presidential <Yeah. laughs> Cart before the horse.
Sounds good. I'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed. Gary. There. It's okay.
There you go. Very good. Thank you for accommodating my timeline.
Well, thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, have a great
day. Thank you.
Might want to change the microphone. It's
yes.
Bouncing
around. Yep, you're
on
the board. Test, test.
Should I ask now if we ever got the other one we ordered? I guess that won't
ask. I guess
not, Okay, we'll move on to delegations and presentations, Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, Clean Up Our Lakes campaign. And if we're getting forward, if you wish to speak into the mic that apparently is working now.
Thank you. I'm just going to pass that around so people can see. I just asked Debbie to, Councillor Zulak, to pass around a picture of the bin as it looked towards the end of the collection period last May. So you can see that it was quite well used. There's a lot of old dock material in there. These things are picked up by people. They're not usually their own. They've floated somewhere. And so they're taking them out of the lake. That's just where they happen to have come. So this year would be the fourth year of having to clean up our lakes campaign in McKellar Township. Over the first 2 years, I'd estimate that 4 to 5 bins of garbage have been taken out of the rivers and lakes of McKellar Township. As since there were multiple bins in the first year of the campaign, so as a result of this campaign, I would guess around 4 to 5 bins. So the importance of this campaign is that it keeps the public property clean of refuse, and it both generates respect and pride in McKellar Township and reflects the desire of McKellar Township residents to take responsibility to keep the environment clean as much as possible. I'm asking to add roads so that it's clean up our lakes, rivers, and roads this year. As somebody else suggested it, but it was something that I really believe in because, as my very patient husband knows, I stop at the side of the road all the time and pick up garbage. And, so he's kind of like, what are you getting me into now, Jennifer? but anyway, I think it would be very helpful. You know, you do have to be careful when you stop, but I'm sure, you know, people are quite cognizant of that. And now it crossed my mind when I was preparing for this that I don't have a budget item on the budget. I'm not sure exactly how the bin gets paid for, whether it's part of the general waste disposal of the township. That never came up. And so it's something that we could certainly add in next year or can be inserted this year by council into our budget. That's fine. I just want to note that it's come to our attention that the financial situation in McKellar Township is more dire than we had understood when we drafted our budget requests, and I just want the council to know that we will support any decision that council makes in regard to our budget. So, anyway, any questions or comments?
I guess we'll just ask maybe previous council. I don't know if they have a record of who paid for the bin and how it was done. Does anybody recall? Yes.
No, I believe it was just done through the waste management section of the, it wasn't separated out because it, I don't believe, just looking at the bin here, I don't believe the bin is being rented for a month. It looks like a McKellar Township bin. So it's just the pickup, tonnage, and return the bin. So we're not paying for the rental of the bin.
Okay, that's good to know.
Just looking at the picture of this bin here.
So we have enough bins, effectively.
Greg would know. I'm sorry, I don't.
Well, we can certainly research that. He's at a good roads conference right now. So. Councillor Gillette.
Yeah, I was just wondering, when the bin's at the site, is there anybody that monitors it? Or is it just Andy, or like, can anybody just put anything in there?
Well, there's always an attendant at the transfer station, and they do know what, like I've chatted with them just to make sure that they know what goes in and what doesn't go in. It's always things from the lake. So I think they do keep an eye on it,
right.
But there isn't anybody specifically
that
for that bin.
Because
no.
I'm just curious, like in the summer when it gets quite heavy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
this
you
is
know,
only
from
only
running
one
from
month.
One thing to another.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Only 1 month. So the program just goes from the end of April to the end of
May.
So
okay.
People have to, you know, get their stuff in
yeah.
during
okay.
May.
Sounds good. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate all that you do for the stewardship of the lakes
thank
and the
you.
Community. I know we can't get into that. It's not on the agenda.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
We have resolution 23-286, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Jennifer Gent Fuller, Chair of the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee, and further, the Council authorizes the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee to place a waste collection bin at the transfer station for the annual cleanup of our lakes campaign, April 28, 2023 to May 28, 2023, in coordination with the Director of Operations. Discussion?
I'm concerned about the words that mean authorizing the committee to place something when it isn't a committee resource, number one, and while the cleanup itself may be organized by the committee. I mean, this is very clearly a township issue, and I know that there was discussions held with Greg about this both in the past and for this one. The wording to me at least is awkward, making implying that somehow or another this is the committee's bin and or the committee's garbage, which I mean it clearly isn't true. This is a community-based event, plain and simple. But
so your amendment would be,
Frankly, I can't find the resolution in front of me right now. Otherwise, I would propose one. So I don't know, Jennifer, if you feel
organize.
That.
Is that
Sorry?
The idea to organize, or rather than to place?
Yeah.
To allocate.
I feel the committee is acting like organizing on behalf of the township.
Right. Organize on behalf of the township, the placement of a bin,
okay.
Something like that.
So, okay, yeah. I
yeah.
Okay, sorry. I hope you can read my writing.
So the amendment was just to organize the placement of a waste collection bin. It doesn't say anything about on behalf of the township, but
I could, yeah, I can put that in too.
I
so,
can.
Yeah. Sentence now, but
are in cooperation.
Just remember, I have to read this later.
I know. Nobody ever said they could read my writing, so
I guess initials over that one.
I'm agreeable to if somebody has better words to use those.
Well, cooperation sounded good.
Yeah. Cooperation does sound good, so. Right, put it on behalf of the township. We could put in cooperation with the township. I mean, that's a good.
So the amendment was to add after environmental committee to organize the placement of a waste collection bin in cooperation with the township. That's the amendment. So I'll call for a question and a vote on the amendment. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. Call on the consolidated resolution with the amendment. So it's the amended resolution. Call for the vote on that. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. Read it all again if you wish.
Okay.
Each of us can
we'll
request
that
vote.
On to number 14, resolution 23-287, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the April 4th, 2023 regular meeting of Council and the minutes of the April 14th. 2023 special meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to committee board minutes and recommendations for approval. The Perry Sound Area Planning Board minutes.
Thank you for coming out.
Yeah,
thank you.
Much appreciated.
Resolution 23-288, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Cuttingham, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the minutes of the February 27, 2023 and March 27, 2023 meetings of the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion? Councilor Haskin, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's the, I wonder if we should add in draft minutes for the February 27, because that is, they were changed at the meeting.
That's what I agree. Those aren't the correct minutes. So.
And this other correspondence we received wasn't minutes, it was actually agenda.
Yeah, a meeting agenda.
Yeah. So, and March 27th.
I'm going to come next time with a t-shirt that says Amendments Are Us. Carly, can I ask when you do the resolutions, if you double spaced it,
to have more room.
And we'd have more
idea.
Room to put them in, right? Makes it easier to read the amendment.
Changes.
Where space permits, I know some of them are longer, but.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually meant to mention those changes when we approved the agenda, but
something
missed out on that.
My apologies, that was my error.
No, the actual minutes of which you didn't have anything to do. The planning board sent those.
No, but the posting the agenda.
Oh, that. Yeah. So the easiest one for this one probably just to reread. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Resolved the Council of Corporation Township McKellar hereby received the draft minutes of the February 27th, 2023, and the agenda for the March 27th, 2023 meeting of the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. And Resolution 23-289, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receive the minutes of the February 9th, 2023 meeting of the Perry Sound District Social Services Administration Board. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to staff reports. And Resolution 23-290, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive bylaw 2023-02 monthly bylaw report for March 2023 from the bylaw enforcement officer Chris Everett for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
Just some questions. It mentions the POA court twice in the report. Is there any issues that that you'd like me to bring and address at any upcoming future POA meetings?
Yeah, if you want to contact Chris and just get details on what his issues have been, I think it would definitely be a good idea to take it to the committee.
Okay, thank you.
What exactly is happening? Do you have any idea how everything's
changing? I was trying to make sense out of this. I didn't understand the December. Okay, so outstanding tickets paid except for two from December 2022, which expired due to our inability to transfer them to POA court. So I'm not sure what administration issues.
So that was our inability to log into ARIS to get the contact information from the plate number.
So
now that's been rectified.
Was that an issue with POA's software, or
I'm not sure where the issue lied, but the township was unable to access the program, but now we have access, and that issue's been rectified.
Okay, and so then at the bottom, so So there was a commenced preliminary work on changing parking bylaw 9823 from POA court offense to municipal administration penalties. I believe that that is would require some agreements with external municipalities. So, and I think it goes on to say that this is something that's in the works and will occur in the next few years. I think this is more of a provincial process that's taking place.
Right.
So I just wanted to have some clarification if there was anything in particular that, you know, the Mankato Township wants to help, you know, any of these issues. But I think now that I have some clarification that they're self-explanatory, one's being addressed, and the second one is an ongoing provincial process. They're trying to, it's to be able to collect funds from someone who is not in that municipality.
Right.
You think there's a bit of a backlog on the POA?
Again?
I'm just wondering, you'd know more about it, maybe at some time in the future, why the changes are taking place. Are they hoping to collect more than they have in the past by doing this?
This would, like this at the end of the first page, last paragraph, that is something that would increase the amount of fines that could be collected.
Any further comments?
I like this report much better than his previous reports.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more detail. The only thing that I mentioned before, and I repeat again, is that I'd love to know if any of these are repeat offenses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the same individuals, I don't necessarily expect to see them identified here, but just simply put, which, if any, were repeat, right? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a simple request. I'm not looking for a lot of words
mm-hmm.
other than, you know, there's no prior offenses noted, right, or that, you know, what there was prior offenses, but just because I think that's the thing, is otherwise we tend to just simply ignore people that just, you know, run through the mill and pay the fine and keep doing it,
yeah.
Right? That's my impression from probably the second last time Chris was here anyhow, so.
Well, that's good. That'll be noted and passed on to us.
Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, it's a big improvement over what he had previously given, so.
Okay, any further discussion?
See the last paragraph he has there about inquiring about a bylaw about containers on property in McKellar Township.
Mm-hmm.
I get comments from people, obviously these are the sea cans or the shipping containers that are getting plunked on properties. I don't know whether this was somebody wanting to put one on, most likely complaining that one was plunked on a neighbor's property.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of thought we were going to deal with that. Wasn't it, Mike, in our zoning bylaw? But
I think it's in there.
We did make a revision.
None in the waterfront, right? None allowed in the waterfront.
Did we increase the setback from the lot lines?
Which edition of the zoning bylaw are you referring to?
Clear.
I'm not putting that on.
So this is actually it's an official plan.
Oh, okay.
Consolidated February 6, 2018, 5.16, and it has shipping containers.
Okay.
Sorry, Mike. What section were you in?
5.16, the official plan.
Okay.
5.16.
I have a copy of one here in front of me that doesn't have a 5.16, but this is dated February 6, 2018 as well. Unless I'm stupid or something.
No.
Are you looking at the zoning?
No, I'm looking at the official plan. Is that what you just said it was in? Yeah.
Yeah.
I
do have the zoning bylaw here too, but
I'm surprised it's
yeah,
in the official plan.
Mine ends at 5.13 and then goes to 5.2.
Yes.
Well, I got 5.16.
So it's just
shipping containers.
Oh yeah, so it has to be.
I'm surprised we would even have anything like that in our official plan.
What is yours in? 5.
Mine ends has 5.112 and 13, and then it goes to 5.2, and I've got consecutive page numbers, so I'm not missing a page.
No, I agree. Mine's the same as yours.
Yeah. Okay. Go to page 17.
We should have notes in here so we know where to really look. Ah, you're right.
Or 5.16.
Okay, now I get it.
16, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not 5.1.6.
No, no, 5.16.
Yeah. So we're all on the same page.
Page 7, right? Okay, you're right.
Yeah, so last sentence, these containers may be used as an accessory as accessory structures in the rural designation, subject to complying with the accessory building provisions in the zoning bylaw.
Okay, so they're just allowed in rural, not rural residential or waterfront.
No.
Which Councillor Zulak said, so she must have known that. Yes, that's good.
And also, they've changed, talking with Chris, they've changed the size limit you're allowed without getting a permit now for them. You're allowed a little bit larger. I can't remember exactly what it is, but.
Yeah, it was 15 square meters
yes.
instead of the 10 square meters.
That's right, yeah.
But that still doesn't allow, so someone had mentioned that that was to allow for shipping containers that you wouldn't have to go for a building permit, but you would need 20 square meters for a shipping container. No, okay, that might be, because 15 square meters is 150 square feet. So it's still, you would need 200 square feet for a 10 by 20 shipping container. So it still seems to fall within that threshold where you require a building permit.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we not, to be allowed in the rural, did we not change in the zoning to have larger setbacks from side yards or anything? We didn't do that, I guess. Well, our zoning was never changed or approved.
Well, the trouble with it was a new zoning, 2019 something, but
23.
Then, yeah, but then
that
it's
was
gone. It's back to 95.
Yeah,
miles.
So there's
it may be enough.
Okay. Okay, I was just kind of curious what Chris Bortolo is going by. So that's fine for now. For people in waterfront and residential areas are somewhat protected from having them plumped and. Locations that are attractive. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the bylaw enforcement did the right thing by talking, sending them to the chief building official.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he'll have the up-to-date regulations.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All questions for the resolution? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Opening results. And resolution 23-291, moved by Councillor Keckin, second by Councillor Zulak. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the tender opening results for tender PW 2023-04 liquid calcium and award the tender to the proponent Davi, subtotal $72,460.80, HST $9,419.90. Total bid amount, $81,880.70. Discussion? I'm just wondering on the actual forms themselves. I noticed in a couple of other townships, they have a unit price, and the actual amount then, the amount of the number of units has two separate columns. So you could compare the contractors, what they're charging different townships. And I just thought that was useful to look at because people get different amounts. So the unit price was always interesting. And part of that would be depending, I guess, on where they have to take it to and various other costs. But it would be interesting just to have another column. And I'm sure it's in the tender package itself when they submit it.
We can add that to the tender opening form.
Okay. Now, that was the interesting thing on this one. He had cut back on it, I think. Director of Operations had said, and yet the price still came in higher than was expected. So.
You cut back on the calcium?
Right, the amount, yeah.
Would the unit cost be something like a per ton? Is that what we would expect that would be? At least for these materials?
For liquid, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Or,
I'm not sure.
Unless it'd be liters.
Right.
Okay. I'd have to double check.
Yeah.
So do we know in this particular case that we're getting, like the quotes were for the same tonnage? In total?
Correct, yes.
Yes,
it's
okay.
For the same amount.
Okay.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. 2592, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby received the tender opening results for tender PW2023-05 A and B gravel and award the tender to the proponent, Fowler Construction Company, subtotal $119,569, HST $15,543.97. The total bid amount is $135,112.97. And there is an asterisk saying the quantities to be revised with Fowler. I'm not sure what that means.
So when we submitted the tender, we had included the Center Road project. So Greg allocated 1,500 ton of gravel to the road, but now that project's been removed from the budget, the paving of the 3.1 kilometers. So that will be removed. So the total amount for that is $32,415.
And I think in budget discussions, we would put that into reserves, right? For future Center Road work.
So then the residual cost would be 133, give or take? No, sorry, 103. Did you
right,
just
take the 32 out?
Yes. Yeah. In other words, we'd subtract that from the 135 and whatever the actual number is. I mean, give or take, it's 103,000. So.
Yeah, the resolution doesn't note. It just gives the figures. It doesn't note the amount on it, right? So maybe that's something too that could be added to it. I don't know whether that's a concern. I know that just if it's sitting in isolation by itself, it doesn't really say. It just says it's the cost, and then nobody knows. How much you're getting. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-293, moved by Councillor Haslam, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the tender opening results for tender PW 2023-06 winter sand and award the tender to the proponent, Fowler Construction Company, subtotal $78,435, delivery $23,895, HST $13,302.90, the total bid amount $115,632.90. Discussion? And that was in more than one location, right? So that's
yes, and
okay.
Fowler was the only bidder.
Okay. All the question then? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-294, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the notice of cancellation of tender circulated on April 11, 2023, to notify proponents the tender has been cancelled and that notice was posted on the Township's website for information purposes. Discussion? I'm just wondering for clarification as well, without people cross-referencing going back, could it also state, just moving ahead sometime in the future, what the actual tender was for, rather just cancellation of the tender that was circulated. It doesn't really specify what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have Resolution 23-295, moved by Councillor Haskin, signed by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the accounts payable preliminary check run for March 2023 for information purposes. Discussion? A couple questions as soon as I can find it. Maybe just something to pass on to Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed there's some repetition in some of the figures, and they're under different headings, but for example, I think it's under one under recreation and one under cultural. They seem to be the same figures. The right page number 40.
13?
13 is it?
That's what it was. Copy urn.
Copy urn I saw twice. But they're different amounts. So maybe they're two different urns. I don't know.
There's supposed to go splits on copy urn. The 150 committee and the recreation committee.
So the coffee urn would have been purchased by a member of the recreation committee, and then oh sorry that one showed twice though, and then they would have been refunded. Yeah, I'm not sure why that would have shown twice.
I see one too on page 9. Do we still have Dan's gone?
No.
Because it dealt with 1212, the wireless mouse and the laptops. I'm just wondering, are those all separate for the exact same price? So they're just two of everything? Is that the idea?
Yes, it looks like it.
It says purchase of three for $1,526. $1,526 each, is that? I'm a little confused on that. Which we've received, but I'm just wondering. Everything looks duplicated there, so I'm not sure whether it's a one-time. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I'll have to ask Rashawn about that.
That was on page 9. And then I see over on page 11, there are three purchases, so maybe this is the third one. I don't know. It's under 1212 as well. It's a different location.
So one would be for Greg, so that would be
under
Public Works.
That's why it's under transportation.
GL.
Good. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and the other two were under administration.
Right, okay. Questions for the accounts payable?
That's maybe why the coffee urn showed up twice as well. So one would have been the reimbursement to the member of the committee, and the other one would be the GL for what line item it came out. So it's not double payment, it's just showing up in the accounting system twice.
And the other question I said, maybe this is added, I'm not sure, over to the right-hand side, I see budgeted dollars and year-to-date balance, which is good, but I'm just wondering, is he in the process of working this out, because the budget is all zeros? So
yes, so I believe when the 2023 budget is passed, then he will put in the budgeted figures and then add the year-to-date balance in as well.
Okay.
So
right now, it's the year-to-date is all sitting in the negative by the looks of it with the parentheses around it, so he's working on that, I assume.
Yes. Yeah, it was requested that the columns were added, so he has added them, and now he'll just update them once the budget's passed.
Excellent. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. To 19.1, we have resolution 23-296, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas Enbridge recently made an announcement of their intention to begin charging third-party contractors and other utilities $200 Canadian dollars plus applicable taxes for utility locates where a field locate is required, and whereas third-party contractors include Ontario municipalities, whereas these locate requests are only required as Ontario municipalities have allowed utilities to use municipal rights of way at no charge to the utilities, and whereas this announcement of new downloaded costs will negatively impact the budgets of Ontario municipalities which are already burdened, And whereas if Enbridge is successful in implementing this new charge, a precedence is set for other utility companies to also begin charging for locates. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar strongly opposes these utility locate costs being downloaded to Ontario municipalities by Enbridge Gas or other utilities, and further that the Province of Ontario's Ministry of Public and Business Service Delivery make it clear that these costs must be borne by the utilities themselves, and further that this decision be forwarded to Minister of Public and Business Service Delivery Khalid Rashid, Minister of Infrastructure Kinga Surma, Minister of Energy Todd Smith, Premier Doug Ford, MPP Graydon Smith, the Association of Ontario Road Supervisors, and the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. Discussion. It is true in the past, I mean, that's where they locate, they just commit utilities and say that this is where we're going, but now looks like they're going to be charging for a location. And I know when you when we look at public property being closed up and sold, you contact the utilities, I think, if there's anything in that particular area on the road allowance that should be concerned about. I don't know whether this concerns us right now with Enbridge Gas, but certainly if all the utilities become involved, it will be another cost. Any comments? Mr. Keck?
I think it's in the best interest of the utility provider to provide that service to prevent any incidents of digging into a gas line. So it's preventative process for that benefits their company. So I guess everyone's trying to pass the buck, but this one here is something that would be part of their attempts to reduce any liabilities by providing that service. So I think we need to support this to ensure that they do not go forward charging, because they gave examples of the impact that it would have on certain municipalities just on, you know, data, previous year's data, and it's quite significant.
I note that the letter actually encourages us to get our Public Works senior manager and directors to further investigate the true costs on your budget. I ask you to encourage your staff to complete this survey so we can better advocate on your behalf. But based upon what you just said, though, Mike, I mean, we have some numbers from previous years. Is that
no? Just in the
or previous numbers of
They gave examples of Central Huron, approximately $35,000 annually. The City of Belleville, approximately $90,000 annually, and the Town of Espanola, $7,300 annually, an additional cost to their budgets.
Sure.
As Mayor Moore had indicated, this particular issue does not affect us due to the fact that we don't have Enbridge Gas going through the municipality, but what's to say that any other utilities use this as a precedent, and it does impact us at some point.
Just out of interest, when this type of resolution is forwarded to various people and locations, what is the cost of the township? You wouldn't know right off the top of your head, but there must be a cost involved when we forward to all these different groups.
Just staff time and researching all the different contact infos for the ministers and the associations.
Okay, and then, because I know in the past I was always concerned if you start sending out these letters to all of these different people, especially if you send them to all the municipalities as such as well, it could get quite expensive. So is it the notice sent out by email now, or is it sent out by post? Or?
By email.
Okay. Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-297, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas February the 8th, 2022, Food Cycle Science Corporation's Amy Gagne presented to Council an overview of the Food Cycle Program And whereas budget restrictions for 2023 are inhibiting the possibility of the program running in the township this year, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the letter from Jacob Hanlon, Municipal Program Coordinator for Food Cycle Science Corporation, and welcome his deputation at the end of this year in consideration for the program to be discussed during the 2024 annual budget deliberations. Discussion? Councilor Fagan?
So Prairie Sound has engaged in this as a pilot program. There was some subsidies, so at some point if we wanted to obtain the data they received and if there was any benefits to their entire waste disposal costs, that would be of interest.
This is the same company, if I'm right, that did it last year too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
So the person's still involved in the program?
Yeah, so they previously had quite a comprehensive green bin program, which they had no longer engaged in, and so this was the alternative choice that they chose to deal with organic waste in their waste disposal process, and be interesting just to see what their preliminary data indicates, if there was any impact on their total waste disposal numbers.
Sounds good. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-298, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin, whereas Mitchell Johnson, Manager of Network Strategy, and sent correspondence via email to the Township Mayor and Clerk Administrator requesting a letter of support for a proposal that Cogeco intends to submit to the CRTC as part of the Broadband Fund. And whereas Mr. Johnson stated that broadband was identified as an area of concern currently lacking fiber optic capacity, and broadband is planned to be included in a Cogeco project that, if selected, would provide a fiber optic backbone connection between McKellar and Orville. And whereas the funding will not directly provide connectivity to individual homes, it would enable additional backhaul capacity for the community, would provide a redundant path for Cogeco services that are planned for McKellar by the end of 2025. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby support projects that bring connectivity to the township, provide ratepayers with quality high-speed internet. And further, that this resolution be sent to Mitchell Johnson as a letter of support for Cogeco's submission to the CRTC's Broadband Fund proposal. And further, that Cogeco provide the Council of the Township of McKellar with the results of their proposal and timeframes for fiber optic connectivity in the township as information becomes available. Discussion? Call on anybody from broadband.
What's going on here?
23 of us here. So.
Who's behind this?
Yeah. Where's the survey? Or not survey, petition.
We'll see how this vote goes.
Yeah.
It's disappointing to note that they're going to take till the end of 2025. And frankly, most of these things that I've been that I've seen anyhow over the last few years are typically like 5 years away. And frankly, no matter how many years expire, the truth of the matter is we never seem to get ahead and never seem to get the work done. And whatever, and putting in the fiber optic in the community is one thing, but without connecting to any homes, what's the point? I mean, I don't have any trouble supporting it. I just think it's too pie in the sky kind of motherhood statements, frankly, as opposed to something concrete that they're actually going to do. So. But I don't have problems supporting it the way that the resolution is written. It makes sense because it beats the option of nothing. So.
So you want them to read the resolution, not listen to what you just said. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Other comments?
No.
Okay. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-299, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby authorize the Clerk Administrator, Ina Watkinson, to attend the pertinent sections of the Federation of Northern Ontario Municipalities 2023 AGM Conference hosted by the Town of Prairie Sound from May 8th to 10th, 2023, with all applicable expenses to be paid by the township. Discussion? Councilor Keckner.
I have gone through the agenda. I'm just wondering what those pertinent sessions are. I didn't really see any real pertinent sessions.
Sorry.
Well, I'll let you define the point of note again. The thing I was concerned about, well, we finally got the agenda.
Yeah.
But, and I looked at, this was done a while ago. We tried to beat the early bird deadline for a few dollars, but we didn't have the agenda. And I'm not sure what happened there. Whitestone had the agenda March 27th. So, and I don't think they did it through Perry Sound. I think they got it straight from the source. And so that was rather interesting that there was, now it might have been a draft agenda, but was certainly, it looks pretty complete compared to the agenda that we have before us now. So I think it was around, and it's just a question of why didn't we receive that earlier from Perry Sound as we requested. Well, that's a good question, Councilor Keckner. I don't know what it looks like. They're 15-minute sessions, which doesn't allow you much time to interact, certainly, with the speakers. Some of them are pretty short. You get to meet them, I guess, from a distance. And it looks as if they're all set up so that you don't have any separate presentations. I get the impression that if you go as an individual, you could attend all of them. Are there any concurrent sessions there? I know when you get to some of these conferences, that's the idea of one or two people going so that you can attend different sessions if more than one thing's going on, different locations. But it looks like the way the times are set up that you could listen to them all. One person.
That's true. Because previously you sort of had to, exactly what you said, select which session room you were going
right
to, and there's several occurring at the same time.
I'm just wondering if we could amend this to attend and something like to report on so that there's something coming back from the meeting in the resolution.
And delete the pertinent sessions, you mean? Well, I mean, I think it's a given. Of course, you're not going to attend, silly things. I don't know if there's silly things here anyway, but.
How to kill your municipality. Isn't that what it says?
That's been at several of these sessions.
This one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a report somewhere on that one.
An awful lot of paper for a 15-minute presentation.
But they are looking for a vocalist for O Canada.
Sorry.
They're on Monday, May 8th.
Yeah, that's
at 11:45.
Information gathered, but that covers the report. So the amendment was just added further that the clerk administrator submit a report to council on the sessions attended. Call the question on that amendment. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. So now the resolution as amended. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
I'm opposed.
Resolution 23-300.
Yep.
Okay.
It is.
We have moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskins. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller hereby appoint Jordan Rutherford and Kevin Wilkinson to the rank of probationary firefighter with the McKellar Volunteer Fire Department, as recommended by Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-301, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the resignation of Chris Everett from the Township of McKellar Volunteer Fire Department, and further thanks Chris for his dedication to the department and for his many years of service. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-302, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2023-33, being a bylaw to appoint an integrity commissioner, first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed in open council this 18th day of April 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Should we name the person who should sign it? Do we have to?
Bylaw will, I
okay.
think. Right.
Okay.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
And it probably should happen, but never has.
And on my version of the resolution, it refers to agenda item 27.2, and I think it's 21.2.
Right.
I don't know if that's the same on everybody's or not, but anyway, it's a minor point, but just for clarity.
Yeah, so. Onto
sorry, yeah, that was changed.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if the name of the integrity commissioner could have been.
Well, you just passed that.
Yeah.
It's in the bylaw.
I know. Just
yeah.
that people, then people know that this is who the new integrity commissioner is.
Her contact information will also be available on the website.
Yeah, and you can update the website because it says he.
For integrity commissioner?
List of the unfinished business or any concerns, any follow-up? Some of them may have been dealt with tonight.
I think it's a start. I think you pretty well have to go through all the agendas and do a comprehensive list. I believe there probably would be a few more additions to that, but I think it's a good start.
How far do you want to go back to?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because the further you go back, the longer your list gets.
So when I first compiled this list, I just did it from the new term of council on.
Right.
So if council wants me to go back further, I can for sure. Just
well,
how far?
Depending on how much time you have. And then you could just, you know, if you had the opportunity to do that.
Like, would 2 years?
Well, I think just start and then see if it makes sense to continue on.
Okay.
And then if you see that there's a lot of important business that is just sort of sitting in limbo and need to be addressed, then probably be a good indication that there's a little bit more that needs to.
Okay.
So it's a matter of working backwards, yeah. And I've looked at a couple of townships, and they have gone back years and years, but they're more of a continuous service there of administration, so they have a better idea of the history, and it's easier for them to recall what was done and what wasn't done. So it is difficult to work backwards into other councils and to follow up and see if it was done or not.
That's true. Yeah.
But it's a good start, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's good to have a list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. list can be added on going forward as well.
Well, yes, but we should be able to resolve. If the things tonight, for instance, if we didn't resolve, then yes, it'll have to be added to the list, yeah. Any new business? To public notices, announcements, inquiries, and reports by council members. Any committee meetings you've attended? Any conferences, workshops?
Yeah, I attended a 150th meeting. I believe that was the only one since the last council meeting. Everything's going okay. They had the live history performance as this past weekend. Attendance was good for a lunch and a dinner. Attendance wasn't all that good for the magic show and the dancing aspects of it, but apparently the event was enjoyed by who did go, and so another event done.
I just want to clarify, were you the instructor? Or
that's maybe
sure.
Why the attendance was a little low.
I don't drink anymore. So.
You don't drink any less.
No, so it went off good, and I believe there's another event come up in a couple of weeks, the dinner for the firefighters, which is sold out. So, yeah. So the events are going along pretty good. Lots going on, that's for sure.
Okay. Councilor July.
Hi. Got the agenda here for the District of Perry Sound Municipal Association. I made copies so you can all have one.
Great.
I finally got it after 4 tries. And then here there's also a secretary treasurer position for the District of Perry Sound. They're looking for someone to take that job. If you want to pass that around or let anyone know.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
No, hint,
like
hint, hint,
believe me.
So, no, I think somebody might be interested in it. And that's it.
Roast beef and turkey, okay, that's good. No, I find these are usually quite interesting. And yeah, there's some good stuff.
I attended the Perry Sound Chamber of Commerce Board meeting yesterday at Canador College, actually. It was the first time I'd been in the building there. It's actually an extremely nice building and a large area with a U-shaped conference table spread out over ample room. And sound quality wasn't great for a guy wearing hearing aids, but it was just a beautiful building. They went through a number of things. They've been apparently quite successful at getting new members. To the sake that they're unable to get around to existing members to help them with the issues that they were looking for help on. So they've decided to try and scale back their new membership drive because, you know, until you can handle what you've got, it's probably not a good idea to take on more. So they talked a lot about the cruise ships coming in and various options for trying to engage cruise ship visitors in things. But as I see it anyhow, it seems to be that all that work really needed to have been done a year before because there's so much lead time involved with the cruise ships and or with the people that are cruising. Because basically they want to be able to select, you know, what they want to do when they get off at a port. I've been on cruise ships a couple times and, you know, not locally like this, but yeah, that's a big deal. You sign up for your excursions way in advance, usually months in advance, and because the lead time wasn't provided, then it's not been done. But they're scrambling to try and find things that are available. Perry Sound Bikes is one of the ones that is set up and ready to go, so people can go and, I assume, rent a bike and tour around and things. And there's a number of others, but, I mean, they're working hard at it, but they're behind the eight ball on it. The other thing they talked a lot about was they have an annual gala, sometimes more than one. I didn't know that, and I've had some involvement with the chamber in the past, so I didn't even know about it, but... And they're talking about doing that too, which is, and possibly having one in the, well, we're in the spring, but sort of, and one in the fall, which would be an interesting way of doing it. Apparently they've been very well attended. They actually made a profit from doing that in most of the recent years, in some cases more than $5,000. So that's pretty substantial for a small, close to the vest organization. So anyway, it was useful, helpful. Other than me, there was... was the councillor from Perry Sound? I should know his name. Ken Adams was there, and none of the other councillor reps from anywhere else were there, which was kind of interesting. But anyhow, and they always ask for an update, kind of what's going on in the community. So I mentioned a lot of the 150th events and things, and and the firefighters thing. Not that anybody can get a ticket even if they want to, but it seemed well received, and all the rest. So it was good to meet some people face to face. Anyhow, it was helpful. So
do you know if McKellar Township's on the excursion list? Or?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. They can take a cruise of like Manitowabing in a canoe, maybe, and get back there, you know, back home in a couple months. But anyway, no, that is indeed one of the problems, even within Parry Sound, is getting people, especially if a mass of people want to go and visit even an event in the town of Parry Sound,
mm-hmm.
how are you getting them there and back and things? And, you know, some of the things that are obvious is a lot of these people are urban, and therefore, you know, can I get an Uber? Well, no,
yeah.
Right? And lots of things like that. That's purely anecdotal. That isn't from the horse's mouth. But I think a lot of urban people take for granted all the services they have in the city, and then they're not here. And they're not all, certainly not all Canadians either. But so, by the way, I was in town several times last year, nothing to do with council and nothing to do with Chamber of Commerce, but in town when the cruise ships got there, and it was very interesting to watch. And I have plenty of experience with the bank when I worked in the Caribbean. And cruise ships there are the lifeblood of their tourism industry. Even if they're only on shore for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, or in some cases a whole day, there are whole communities built around cruise ships down there, and it's a really huge dynamic, and they bend over backwards to accommodate them because it's money.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that the chamber can get organized with, and it's not really the chamber's issue, other than they took the bull by the horns because nobody else was, to find ways to benefit from that. And it would be a real stretch, unless they were here for a day, to think that there was, you know, an opportunity to get some benefits for McKellar. I don't discount it, but I don't know what those things would be. I don't know if others do either. But and we're not talking this year. I think at the best we could do is maybe something next year. But anyway,
well, that's good with your experience too. And you're on the committee, so
you
can put forward some ideas of your experience of traveling.
Well, and there was places, particularly in, and I spent years going to Bahamas, Cayman, places like that, and you have no idea that the whole economy, and here in Bahamas, which is a pretty affluent community, they actually said when the boat people were arriving, meaning cruise ship, they're not talking about the boat people like, you know, from Vietnam and those, but the boat people were the cruise ship people, and their whole week is organized about what time that they're going to be here, and staffing up and having your goods out and being out on the street and meeting them and everything else. It's in those communities, it's like the biggest dynamic that drives the community. And I mean, we don't have nearly the volume of people getting off a given ship here, nor do we have the number of ships coming in, but I think it could be transformative, particularly for Parry Sound and maybe for West Parry Sound too. But the further out, the less likely we're to get them, I think. So the logistics of getting them from the cruise ship to here would be difficult, anyhow. So
sounds like you have a heavy workload going forward. Then getting involved. You know? Any other committee reports? We just had the Recreation Cultural Center meeting on April the 12th. Mm-hmm. They had the. Adam, did you get to go to that? Or? No.
No, I didn't.
Because I think Ina sent out the invitation, and then I think you were invited as well.
Yep.
Councilor Zulak. Yeah. But they were doing it for fundraising, and they currently have a list of potential donors that they're going to be approaching, different businesses and individuals, but that's all confidential at this point. So, but they are putting that out there, and they want all the members of the board too as well submit names and dig into their own pockets, I guess. But but anyway, that's pretty well what the whole meeting was about. Just sponsorship, and the person heading up this the fundraising committee, she was speaking to that, and it was all public again, although they haven't gone so far as to offer it by Zoom as we requested. It's still by YouTube, though you can listen in to the open portion of it, but you can't contribute.
Mm-hmm.
So any comments? The only way you could comment is through deputations, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Resolution 23-303, move of Councilman Zulak, second of Councilor Haslam, be it resolved, Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Any question there? Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. from the audience?
No,
do you want to confer with your colleagues?
Resolution 23-304, moved by Councillor Haskam, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-34, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open Council this 18th day of April of 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And Resolution 23-305, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Haskam. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
7:56
p.m. to meet again on May the 2nd, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. All questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried.